Burning. It's a great song. All right. We have a handout. Can we pass that out? And you can turn to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Don't think we'll be real long tonight. Pastor gave me these notes. So we are continuing with the series he started about facing giants, okay? And tonight we'll talk about another giant, the giant of loneliness, Luke chapter 4. And pray for our pastor and his family as they're away. They're at a conference in Wisconsin along with some of our other members. So pray for them while they're away, that the Lord will speak to them, that conference will go well, and that God's will be done there. Okay, Luke chapter 4. Let's pray before we begin. Lord, thank you for this evening. Thank you for everyone present tonight. And Lord, we thank you for your word and how relevant it is to us in our lives, and how it addresses different issues we face and problems and situations. And Lord, we pray that we would learn from your word tonight, and that it would help us in this area of facing loneliness. Lord, we do pray for those who are away from us. Some are traveling, some may be sick, and Lord, we just pray that you'd meet each one of their needs and bring them back to us again soon. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Picture with me a middle-aged man, and he's sitting at the breakfast table. But he's sitting by himself. And this morning he only made 2 cups of coffee instead of 4. And he has a new title now, and it came sooner than he had expected, but he is a widower. Think of a college freshman, and she is checking her mailbox regularly and hoping to find some kind of connection from her friends and family back home. The world that she was a part of just weeks before. You could think of an elderly woman, and she's sitting in a room that has now become her home. And her possessions that she had for most of her life are now not there. And she has a few items in her room that she has arranged in a special way, and she looks out the window hoping to see a familiar car pull into the parking lot. Or what about a man in the prime of his life who has talent and strength, and he's ready to work, and he finds that days turn into weeks and weeks into months, and he's waiting for the phone to ring saying that they want him. He's unemployed. All these people, and we could probably name others, are facing a problem. What is it? They are lonely. Albert Einstein said, "It is strange to be known so universally and yet to be so lonely." There was a study done. ABC News reported a 9-year study was done by the University of California, and it showed that loneliness has a greater impact on the death rate than smoking, drinking, eating, or lack of exercise. The study found that people who felt isolated and alone had a death rate twice as high as those with strong social ties. So we would say that loneliness, being alone, is not a good thing. In fact, God says it's not a good thing. It was the first thing that God recognized was not good. In Genesis chapter 2, the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone." Amen. "I will make him and help meet for him." God recognizes this as well. Loneliness is a longing to hear a word from someone, to be seen as significant, to be recognized, remembered, counted, and known. I think that all of us, in some way or another, at some time or another, have dealt with the giant of loneliness, or maybe we're dealing with it now. What do you do when you are alone? What do you do when you are alone? That's what we're going to talk about tonight. Point number one there is, I guess I just have to give it to you, right? We don't have a projector. You just have to listen. Ha ha! All right. Point number one, recognize that you are there by God's design. Now, we didn't even read our text yet. Luke chapter 4, verse 1, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil." We're not going to really look at the temptations that Jesus faced, although that's an interesting study, how he was tempted to make bread out of the stones. He was hungry. I mean, you could imagine what you would feel like after 40 days of not eating, right? The second temptation, what was it here? Oh, yes, he took him up to the top of the mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And then there was the temptation, go up to the top of the temple and jump off the top of the temple. The angels will protect you. Interesting points there, an interesting study, but that's not our purpose tonight. Our purpose is to examine this period in Jesus' life when he was alone. Okay? Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan. What just happened was Jesus was baptized. If you look at the account in Mark, maybe we could turn over there real quick. I think it's Mark 4. Am I right? No. Let's see here. Yes. Okay. Mark chapter 1. So in Mark chapter 1, verses, the first part of the chapter there, it's talking about John. Now, John was sent to be the forerunner of Christ. John was in the River Jordan baptizing people. Verse 10, "Straightway coming up out of the water, he baptized Jesus, and he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him." So Jesus is baptized. "There came a voice from heaven saying, 'Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" And what does the next verse say? "Immediately the Spirit drives him into the wilderness." Jesus is baptized, and the next step that God has for Jesus is the wilderness. And he goes into the wilderness. In Luke it says he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, and now he is alone. He's led by the Spirit into the wilderness, so Jesus was there on purpose, right? It was God's will that he was there, that he was alone in that setting. Andrew Murray was the great missionary to South Africa, and he knew what it was like to submit to the leading of the Holy Spirit when in difficult, trying wilderness settings. When he felt like he was all alone. Listen to what he wrote. You can read it there. "He brought me here. It is by his will I am here. I will rest in this. He will keep me here in his love and give me grace to behave as his child. He will make the trial a blessing, teaching me the lessons he intends for me to learn. In his good time, he will bring me out again, how and when he knows. So let me say, I am here by God's appointment, in his keeping, under his training, for his time. An example there from Andrew Murray. You know, when we are alone and in that type of situation, what is the first thing, what is the first question that comes to mind? What is it?
Why?
Why? Lord, why? Have you ever been there, thought that? Why? I have. Why is seldom a fruitful question. But it's a perfectly human response, and it's not, I don't think it's a wrong question to ask. But accepting what God is doing is always beneficial, even when circumstances and outcomes are unclear. When God removes from us sources that we recognize as good, you know, that could be all kinds of things. You know, those things are taken away. Jesus' supply of food was not there. And of course, we would say that that would be a good thing to have. And sometimes those things are removed from our life. God is doing that for a purpose. It is not something that is supposed to be, that is to be permanent, but it is purposeful. Okay, there are purposes for what God is doing. We already talked about Mark and how it was so immediate that Jesus went into the wilderness. There are some other examples in the Bible. Think about Moses. Moses had an idea that he was going to free his people in Egypt, right? He killed the Egyptian. The next day, he's running away from Pharaoh into Midian, where he watched sheep on the backside of the desert for 40 years. He was in the wilderness. Think about Elijah. Elijah was leading a revival on Mount Carmel, right? Fire coming down out of the sky and burning up the altar and killing all the prophets of Baal. Yeah! Right? Jezebel told him, I'm going to kill you. And Elijah fled to the wilderness to hide. Paul, when he was converted, in Galatians it says that he did not confer with people. He maybe did a little visiting, but after Paul was converted, he was in the wilderness of Arabia for 3 years. So these people have these, they're examples of how these people were alone and in the wilderness, and it was by God's design. God permitted the isolation, the temptation, and designed all of it for a purpose. So when you and I find ourselves in a situation like this, remember, God has a purpose here. God has a plan. I might not understand what that is right now, but I am here not on accident. God hasn't forgotten about me or made a mistake. This is by design. Remember that. Point number two, rest in who is there with you, rather than regret who is not. Rest in who is there with you, rather than regret who is not. If you look back there in chapter 4 of Luke, what does it say at the beginning of the verse? It says, Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost. So who was with Jesus? The Holy Ghost. God was with him. We can rest in the fact that God is with us during that time of loneliness. What's the verse that just came to mind? There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. that's talking about the Lord. You know, we might not have a brother right next to us, but there's a friend that you and I have that will remain with us. John 14, verses 16 through 18. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Why? That he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. If you're a saved person tonight, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, and he's with you. And we can learn to listen to him and allow him to comfort us. I will not leave you comfortless. God sent us the Holy Spirit, and he is with us during these times of loneliness. You could probably quote Psalm 23:4. What does it say? Why don't we read Psalm 23:4 together? It's right there on your notes. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. God, the psalmist is walking through a difficult, trying time, but he recognizes God is with me, even though it is dark, even though it is difficult, even though it is lonely, God is with me. Isaiah 41:10, it says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I am with thee. I will help thee. Spurgeon was commenting on this verse here in Isaiah, and he compared, it would be like an ant coming to the door of God's granary and asking for help. And it wouldn't hurt God to give him a handful of grain, right? And Spurgeon says, thou art nothing but a tiny insect at the door of God's all-sufficiency. God will help you. Rest in the fact of who is with you, rather than regretting who is not. Number three there, realize that there are some times of loneliness and trial that only you and the Spirit can understand. I think that's very true. You know, you could be facing whatever kind of situation. You know, maybe you're facing a difficult work situation. Maybe you are looking for a job. Maybe your job is stressful, or whatever the situation is. You could be facing a financial situation, or maybe a tough family situation. Maybe it's a health situation, or you could name 100 things. But you could explain your situation to me, and I'm going to try to, you know, sympathize and understand where you're coming from. And I think we should do that, and we can do that to a degree. But really, I'm not going to know your situation like you do. And you're going to be, because you're the one in that situation, right? But remember, there was someone else with you in that situation. And maybe I can't fully appreciate it or understand it, but God does. God can. He knows exactly what is going on in your mind, what is going on in your heart. What you're worried about, what needs to happen, or God, why did this happen, or whatever the situation might be. God is the one who can relate with you fully. Jesus was there in the wilderness for 40 days. It's possible, we don't know this, but it's possible he faced other temptations. It's possible that he was tempted that whole entire time. And maybe God just recorded 3 temptations for us. We don't know. But the fact is that Jesus was the one who was there. He is the one who knew exactly what was going on in his life at that time. And the same will be true with us when we go through these difficult, lonely seasons. All right, number four. Rejoice that usefulness follows the loneliness of the wilderness. Rejoice that usefulness follows the loneliness of the wilderness. In chapter 4 of Luke there, look at verse 13. It says, "And when the devil had ended all the temptation," aren't you glad that there's an end to that temptation, to that trial? "When he had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season, and Jesus returned in power of the Spirit into Galilee." So Jesus made it through this difficult, trying time. Time of temptation and trial and loneliness. It came to an end. And then, what did Jesus have? Power. He had power. And he basically begins his ministry. Healing people and preaching to people, and people begin to believe on him. Usefulness follows the loneliness of the wilderness. We need to submit ourselves to that progression. You know, a lot of times, and I've found this in my life, you know, we've got it figured out, right? We know when enough is enough, right? Lord, this is enough. I'm done. Forget this. You need to stop this, Lord. God's the one who knows when it needs to stop and when our usefulness will start. Think about Joseph. Joseph, we know the story of Joseph. He was cast into a pit in the wilderness. He was alone. He's gone from his family. And then he's sold as a slave to Potiphar. And he's in a foreign land and a foreign language and alone. He was lied about, cast into prison, left to rot there. The butler forgot him. Oh man, would I have been mad at that butler. But God was in control of all that. That was all by God's design and plan. But then finally, he was placed in a position of power, and God had brought him through that wilderness. You know, he faced all kinds of isolation and uncertainty, but when you look at the end of his life and the end of the story, he was very useful. He was used greatly by God. He had a desire to come out of that wilderness. In Genesis chapter 40, I mentioned the butler. What did he say to the butler? He said, "Make mention of me unto Pharaoh and get me out of here." Joseph wanted out, right? But God didn't do it the way Joseph wanted it. God didn't do it the way maybe he had been planning. God did it when he wanted to. Maybe the turning point was when Joseph recognized, "My help is not in man, but it's in the Lord." Maybe. Satan's goal is to deplete your power, while God's design is to magnify his power in you. The times of separation and isolation and battles with the giant of loneliness can be for a much higher purpose and a time of preparation for future power. This is very important. James chapter 1, we have it there in our notes. "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations." Now, you know, I don't know about you, but I can read that verse and I'm like, yeah, right. Okay? I'm going through something difficult. The last thing on my mind is, yippee! You know? Is anybody with me on that? Okay. But it says, count it all joy. When you're going through difficulty, how can you do that? How? The next verse is how. You can count it all joy by knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. That's how. Because you recognize, you remember, you know, look, God is doing something in my life. God is making me something. He is growing me. He is accomplishing His purposes, and they are good things. And it's when we take the focus off of the trial, we take the focus off of ourself, and we focus on the Lord and how He is a good God that is doing something good in my life. If I know that, I can rejoice when I'm in a trial. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. So, are you facing the giant of loneliness? If you are, you can have hope. Romans 15:13 says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." Psalm 42:5 says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance." We can hope in God and trust Him through our difficulties, through our trials, through our loneliness, and remember that He is accomplishing something good in my life. I hope it helps you tonight. It was a good reminder for me. As we go through, we all face difficult circumstances. Okay, that wasn't too long, was it? Are you wore out? Okay.